Hey, today on the episode, what a wild one. We talk about Houston Dynamo apologizing to their fans about an opposing player and what Europe thinks about us. And we bring up spuds and with tuna on it. We also talk about fans sneaking on the field, Luis Suarez dialing back the clock, Wilfred Zaha being the king for the day, so much.
Exactly. And we're also joined by Ricardo Clark,
what?
The absolute legend, USMNT legend, Houston Dynamo legend. Mm. Speaking of the Houston Dynamo, we'll talk to him. He is the coach for the Vancouver Whitecaps 2 in MLS Next Pro, which is starting up this weekend. So we'll talk to him about that. And we got some Rapido reactions. Ooh. All this and more today on the Cooligans.
So you and I had the luxury of hanging out with a couple former players of New York City FC.
Correct.
The wonderful Tony Rocha, the wonderful RJ Allen, but in particular, Andrea Pirlo.
Okay, yeah. And as I was at the event and interacting and watching you interview these folks, I was like, clearly the main get, with all due respect to Tony Rocha and RJ Allen, we all know who the main get is.
We appreciate both of those men for everything they've done.
Of course.
Get off the stage. what are we doing here?
Respectfully. I'll send you the photos. We could show it in post. We'll post it there. But so you're looking right now at the photo of all of us with Andrea Pirlo, RJ
Tony
Allen,
Rocha. Tony Rocha helped win MLS Cup.
Uh-huh.
Right? RJ Allen came in as a trialist. And it rose to the level playing on the first team.
100%.
Sent one of the greatest passes to David Villa I've ever seen an assist in my life. One of the greatest moments. This man won the World Cup. Get off the stage. I don't even know why I'm on the stage. I shouldn't be there either, by the way. They should have just handed Andrea Pirlo a mic and said, say whatever you want for the next half hour.
It's an interesting... It's like if we were doing a stand-up show and it's like, yeah, Alexis and Christian are... on this show.
Yeah, me, you, and Bill Burr.
We're all co-headlining, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me, you, Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know we might have sold some tickets, but I don't think
I'm
we sold the majority.
None of y'all are here to see me, but I think even the people that are here to see me are happier that these other two dudes are on stage.
That's right. But it was a great experience for all of us. And I'm sure RJ and Tony, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
And just, but rub elbows with Andrea Pirlo directly right on stage.
Yeah, I think you're both of your careers are most notable for having played with him. You know what I mean? And I'm just shocked I'm there. I did get a chance to make him laugh, which I was a little nervous about.
Yeah.
Because he's a very cool, relaxed guy.
He
don't really change his emotions much.
Yeah, yeah. It was obviously for NYCFC's 10-year anniversary. Yeah. Shout out to, I'm wearing the new kit and everything.
Shout out to Olivia, bro. That's right here.
So that was a cool experience, getting to interact with Pirlo. And I didn't realize Andrea Pirlo's English is pretty good.
Yeah, so this was the funniest part, and I know we're going to get to the show in a second, but there was a translator that they hired. She teaches Italian at a local high school or college. I forget. Very nice lady. I think she's from just outside the Bronx. Understands Italian. She was a little nervous. She's like, what are you going to ask? Like, what? I said, I don't know. We'll talk about his time at the club. And she was like practicing how to say club in Italian. So I was like, okay, she understands
like
this.
The football term, the calcio term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think she understood, like, okay, he's Andrea Pirlo. Like, people know who he is. He's very famous. So she was a little nervous. His first answer was about 90 seconds of like, Tiquan, T4. But the whole, he went in.
Just a tactic.
And she responded with, I enjoyed my time here very much. Thank you to the fans. And I was like, I even said on microphone, I go, there was a lot more than that. There was so much more.
Not trying to call you out
I mean, you know, I'm not one to belittle someone, but come on, lady. Like, you ever see those kung fu films where the guy goes off for like 10 minutes in another language and the script at the bottom just says, yes, you know, like that? And you're like, oh, we missed part of something you don't want to tell us here. And then I think his next answer, he said something about, like, I can't wait for the new stadium. And she's like, I'm excited for the new. And she liked that I'm like, team? Like, what did you say? He looked at her with, thank you for being here. And then from that point on, only answered me in English.
he
responded in English.
Like, I'm going to power through.
Yeah, bro, you ain't helping me. So I'm going to do me. And then if there was parts he really couldn't say in English,
he'd look at her
and like, he'd say like two words in Italian. She'd say it, and then he'd say another two words.
Sure.
He was like, all right, we're going
to
work together.
They were working together to get through it. No, it was shout to her. I'm sure it was a fun experience for her as well. I got to, in the green room, chat with him a little bit. And you made him laugh, but I think he didn't really get my sarcasm, and maybe just the, you know, things lost in translation, and he doesn't really get it.
Well, this is when he said the Milan Legends versus Tottenham.
I forget. RG was asking him, like, he was like, "Oh, you're playing, right? You're playing from time to time." He's like, "Yeah, I'm." He played in the.
He said he's about to play.
It was a charity game.
No, he's about to.
But he was saying that he had just played.
Yeah, he's playing like, the one with Speed. Speed, yeah.
And then he was like, I'm playing in the Milan Legends versus Tottenham Legends game.
In
and
London.
In London. And I said, does Tottenham have Legends?
And he looked at you like.
He looked at me like.
Why would you be disrespectful? I had your back, though.
Everybody laughed.
Everybody laughed. I had your back, though. I go, you know, it's trophies versus no trophies.
That's right.
And then he goes, okay. But at first, when he first walked in the room, I left the main room with all the players because I was like, Andrea's going to want to talk to them. Yeah. There's not a lot of couches or space to sit. So I'm going to go in the other room, like the makeup room. Mm-hmm. I'll go wait in there. Him and his handler or his agent came into my room, and I'm like, what are y'all doing here? You're supposed to be with the players. Like, I was in there looking at my notes, right? Trying to remember what the hell Tony Rocha did, you know? I was looking through my notes. And he says to his agent in Italian, who's this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, I don't know. Maybe he works for the club. And I said, no, I'm the host. I don't work for the club. I'm the host. I do on-camera stuff. And the agent goes, you are anchor? And I was like... Sure. I'm not. There's no reason to try to explain this. And the guy goes, and Andrea's like, oh. And he looks at him and goes, he understands Italian. And I go, yeah. I go, my wife's Italian, but also it's very close to Spanish. You habla español. And Andrea Pirlo goes, you habla español también. I was like, oh my God, bro. Okay. I'm now having a multi-language conversation with my guy, Andrea Pirlo. Shouts to Andrea Pirlo, bro.
Yeah, that was a cool experience, man. I mean, we've only casually met him when he was playing for the club very quickly.
But I changed my tone. The first time we met him, I argued with him about pizza. This time, I didn't even bring it up.
Okay, yes. All right. So, you know, a lot of people don't get a second chance at a first impression. And that's exactly
what. By the way, I'll also have it. The next time I meet him will be another first impression. He will not remember me or anybody he's associated with. But shouts to Andrea Pirlo. Shouts to New York City FC for their 10th anniversary. Big event.
Yeah,
we got a chance
to
go.
The Cooligans 10th anniversary. We're all celebrating 10 years in this game, all right?
No.
So a lot to go over today. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
If you're watching on the YouTubes, you're seeing our table alignment a little bit different.
Yeah, shouts to... for letting us change the table a little bit. We're trying to switch stuff up. We want to talk to each other.
Exactly. Instead of talking to you.
Right? Who are you?
We can't stand you.
Just like Andrea Pirlo when he sees me. Like, we don't know you, dog. Okay.
What? You want to talk about pizza all the time. Not interested.
Us. Not us.
But we have a lot to go over today with in Major League Soccer. We also have an incredible guest. Joining us today, the legendary Ricardo Clark. He is the coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps MLX Next Pro team.
Say that three times fast.
Exactly. There's a lot going on there. So he's going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about his current job. And also, I mean, he's one of these OG MLS guys of just like,
I bet you, like, he watches.
You would obviously mention this on Morning Footy, but when it comes to... the streets remember, what was it?
Yeah, streets won't forget.
The streets won't forget. Yeah. Ricardo Clark is, that's who I think of.
Yeah. As soon as we got the opportunity to interview him, we're like, oh, Ricardo Clark. Like, we didn't forget, but we're like, yo, we haven't talked to someone like you in a minute.
Exactly.
This is like OG Arsenal, like OG MLS folks.
Like,
but also
like
World Cup, national team.
Yeah, the old like FIFA is like from like 02 to 08. Yep. Like Ricardo Clark, when you picked the U.S. men's national team, like, Ricardo Clark was one of the guys.
When those player cards were not respected American players back then. Yo, we had a lot of 65, 75.
Boy, why is it bronze, bro?
Damn. It's rusty. I didn't even know you guys had that color.
So we'll go chat with him, and then we have some European footy to go over. Let's start
with MLS, because wild stuff's happening.
Exactly. We got to start with the Houston Dynamo tweet.
Put their hat in their hands, bro.
They got to. Every MLS club has to. You know what's funny is that I think every MLS club has this tweet ready to go.
It's in the notes.
You got to do it at the beginning of the season because you never know when Messi might show up or not show up. So you have to give an explanation. So,
but here's the thing. It's like the internet's for everybody. It's not just MLS fans. So the whole world sees this tweet.
And that's why I said, I think, you know, we should be like China and block off the outside world. We don't need
Russia as well, bro. They got the right idea.
Why are we getting these opinions from the Europeans? We don't need that.
If you British, you cannot see MLS tweets, bro.
It's only going to cause problems for us.
You just don't understand our culture.
See, your opinions affect us domestically. We can't be dealing with all that.
We now have to answer for your stupid thoughts.
So the Houston Dynamo, you can pull it up, Carter. The Houston Dynamo put out this statement, and it goes on to say, it says, the Houston Dynamo are excited to host Inter Miami CF at Shell Energy Stadium on Sunday evening.
Is that the NFL stadium?
Shell Energy is...
That's the old BBVA.
I believe so. Yeah, it's a stadium. Yeah, yeah. The recently shared player status report for the match did not include forward Lionel Messi, but it has been reported he did not make the trip to Houston. Unfortunately, we have no control over who plays for our opponent. It goes on to say, we look forward to hosting everyone tomorrow for what will be an incredible atmosphere and celebration of soccer for the city of Houston. I think Miami celebrate a little bit more there.
A little bit.
To show our appreciation, fans who attend tomorrow night's match can claim a complimentary ticket to a future Dynamo match this season. Additional details will be provided early next week.
So two games without Messi, bro, for the price of one. That's crazy.
You want an opportunity to not see Messi again?
Oh, man. Remember the last time you came and Messi wasn't here, how much fun that was?
We got a deal for you.
Oh, bro.
They should do.
I know you bought a ticket to see Messi, but how about we give you two with no Messi? Have you thought of that?
Right. So we've seen this before. Other teams have done this. But for some reason, this particular tweet,
I think it's the tone.
Made the round a little bit more.
The tone, the contrition that this club feels.
Maybe.
It's also the admitting, having to admit to people who are buying tickets to your stadium that we're sorry the opponent couldn't make it.
Right.
I think that's what's hitting the vein of the internet.
I have to look at, find maybe the old statements, because I think the Whitecaps made a statement and I think the Fire made a statement like this when he didn't play. But I think maybe Wyatt struck a chord. Amen. Anyway. I think the reason it struck a chord is because the line right there says, unfortunately, we have no control over who plays for our opponent.
That's what I'm saying. The contrition they feel like. The apology of, we're so sorry. The you're not here to see us.
Yeah, yeah.
We told Javier Mascherano,
play the man.
Bro, a lot of tickets were sold to this game.
Yeah, yeah. And this is something where a lot of the commentary, especially from content creators in the UK, were like, MLS is an unserious league and blah, blah, blah. And that is partly true. And I'm not...
If we're grading serious as what happens in Europe, then yeah.
Which some would argue is too serious.
Right. Like, if I go to Red Star versus Partizan, it's going to be a little different.
Right.
The energy might be a little different. The Houston Dynamo versus Inter Miami. You get me?
Exactly. Because if Red Star puts out an apology for the opposing team's player who didn't show up. That's it. They'd have
fires in the city.
There would be riots.
Cars overturned.
Sporting direct admin. Everybody's gone from Red Star.
You're not leaving your job. You have to leave the country.
So this is... So I was a little bit bothered by some of the reactions, because there is a lack of context of like what we're dealing with in this country. Yes, when Messi's in Major League Soccer, Messi is in this league. He is the it's a traveling road show, and forget about like football and history and culture. That's not what we got here. We're like. We need to sell these people $2 hot dogs to get into the stadium. 100%. We need anything, because the sport is not the predominant sport in this country. So people criticizing, you're like, oh, that the opposing team should never put out a statement like this.
Yeah. If you started when it was factory workers who worked 7 days a week.
Correct.
We ain't got that, bro. The league is 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
29. It's going to take some time. before there's like this deep seated, like Massimo from Lindustry came to the 10th anniversary event last night.
Right.
And he was like, I thought this team had been around for 100 years. I'm like, why? What are you talking about? MLS is 29 years old. He didn't know. He was like, oh, I thought these teams had been here forever. So I was like, you think they've just been, you know, mediocre for you know, 100 years? The league wouldn't have survived.
But
that was, NASL was different. He thought Pele played in MLS. I'm like, we got a lot to talk about. Also, his daughter's right here, by the way, if you want to meet her. I'm like, there's a lot going on, by the way. But to me, it's like, what you're saying is, well, the way we do it, this must feel like what it's for British people when they saw Keith Lee eating their food.
Oh, sure.
Because food, clearly, you guys have only been doing for 29 years. To take a potato and to put beans and tuna on it.
Mm.
You, come on.
You didn't even brainstorm. You went with the first idea.
You said, yo, there's no dumb idea. Someone's like, how about tuna and beans? Like, you know what? Wrap it up. We've got a cuisine. That's how it is when we talk about soccer.
Exactly.
You know, it's brand new, bro. You guys just got taste buds. We just got soccer. Okay? It's going to take a while before you develop.
So, yeah, y'all need food academies. You got a lot to work on.
Enough with the tuna and beans on a potato, man. This is disgusting.
So,
I don't think you should eat the three of those in a day. Never mind in a meal.
It isn't to say, you know, MLS deserves no criticism, but this is a weird statement to dunk on, because we understand Messi's not going to be here very long. You need to use him to the full ability and to grow the
you
game.
You gotta make your money back, you gotta, bro.
Yeah, that's one thing. You gotta make your money back.
And also, when he was at PSG, let's stop acting like you didn't sell extra tickets at Lyon. You know, right. Well, maybe not Lyon. Lyon's like,
we bought two. We bought two. Yeah. Messi play.
We paid quite a bit of money for them. But like, maybe not Lyon, but pick another Monaco. Monaco, right, historically, people don't really care about the team as much because it's such a well-off city or whatever it is, like its own. So there's a bunch of diehard fans, a lot of empty seats. I bet you some more of those seats were filled when Messi played at PSG and PSG went there. I bet you the same thing happened at Barcelona when he went to, maybe it was, I don't know, they played against Espanyol or they played against some other team that maybe doesn't always fill the stadium. Similar.
Yep.
The difference is it's much more dramatic in the U.S. There's so many more people who know about it. There's so many more people in the Houston area that know who Messi is than know the Houston Dynamo are a thing. And yes, that sucked, and we're trying to build it. Yeah. But at some point, you got to market the thing. Michael Jordan comes to your town when he was playing basketball. You talked about Michael Jordan more than you talked about your bum-ass team.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a silly statement. And I think, you know, shout out to the homie Kitos, the photographer.
Yeah, of course.
Kitos, he does stuff for Club 11. And he had put out a video talking about this statement as well, and criticizing it, which I understand.
It deserves criticizing. Both understanding and criticism.
Exactly. And I think there was a statement he made that said, like, oh, I don't think MLS is using like the popularity of Messi to the correct way. And it's like, that is where I'll kind of push back. I'm like, what more can they do? What more can Messi do? This,
I got an idea. Do you want to hear it?
Go, sure. Okay.
Do you remember the Pope Mobile?
I heard of it. Yeah.
Now there's a bus, right? That takes the team. And then there's the Pope Mobile with Messi. He got to go the scenic route. He got to cut through the downtown.
The Messi Mobile. Him and his security guard.
Yeah. His security guard's jogging next to him. It's good exercise for him. But he got to go through the downtown. He got to make stops.
Sure.
Maybe at like a school. There's kids that could make it to the game.
Uh-huh.
The Messi, you know, boom, boom, boom. You can bang on the glass all you want. I actually think it's a great idea.
It's the idea of children banging on the Messi Mobile.
Messi's doing the Pope wave. You want to market.
Right. It's like, again.
And stuck to the glass are tickets to the game.
And that's the thing.
This is actually great. It's like a little post-it note, tickets to the game.
The criticism of how Messi should be used to popularize American soccer or Major League Soccer, I understand. When people say like, oh, they're not using him the right way. Please, like just like you did, you gave me an idea.
Okay.
You gave me some suggestion of how Messi should be used.
We're not going to sit here and talk about whether it was a good idea or not.
We're not
I think it's great. You probably disagree.
I just want to hear the ideas.
Yeah, we got ideas.
Rather than the criticism of like, it's not going to happen overnight where instantly Messi's impact is going to, you know, the league is just going to swell and blow up.
Yeah. Also, people aren't going to become 40-year diehard soccer fans all of a sudden.
I mean, we have to think about the kids that are like 8, 9 years old now who get to see Messi. And then in 10 years or even like 7, 8 years, there's going to be a kid, and please clip this, use this. Yeah. There's going to be a kid that says, hey, I became a professional player in an MLS or the next possible star. He's like, because I went to see Messi play.
Houston Dynamo.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a Houston Dynamo fan. Right. I was a Messi fan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to.
So stop being stupid, Europe.
At least understand the context. That's all I'm saying. Next, so in the same game, we have to. Inter Miami ended up winning this game 4-1.
Yeah.
And there were a couple significant moments. One, Luis Suarez gets, I believe, 3 assists or 2 assists and a goal.
Absolute golazo.
But the goal he scored is pretty funny. And this is one of these. This is one of those goals where I'm watching this and I'm thinking, all right, look. And I loved. I think it was BWP in MLS wrap up that was like he became that Luis Suarez has no business becoming the 10 and then running through
three defenders. By the way.
But this is something. Luis Suarez.
The man has no knees.
No knees. He's 38 years old. And I'm watching this. And I'm like, who is this old man cutting up these players that are half his age? And it's one of the things that I'm like, if like playing in a basketball, when you play a basketball game and you play against like an older dude, Unk shows up.
Yeah, he got that Princeton offense type move.
Doing old man moves.
Yeah, no one ain't seen that in the league.
I don't know how to stop it because I've never seen it before. Yeah. This was before my time.
Skyhook.
And that's how I felt watching it. Like the Dynamo defenders have to be embarrassed. And again, incredible goal from Luis Suarez, taking nothing away from him. But
he dialed back the clock on that one. But the way the man walks to him from the bus, you don't think he could dial it back. So this is an embarrassment. You're defending, especially the athleticism associated with MLS players, right? They're like, oh, it's a very athletic league. It's very hard because everybody runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Blah, blah. There was none. There was none of that was on display here whatsoever.
I think it was the first defender that like bought that shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Why are you?
He ain't got the skills to go. You went too far.
He's not faster than you. Why are you falling for? Just stay in
you could have taken a baby step backwards and he would have stayed in front of you.
Just really shocking that it got that. I mean, you understand maybe beating one defender, the second, the third, like put a bot. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, I want to see Luis Suarez score some goals. They can't be this easy.
No.
And because again, because the shouts of like, what is this league? MLS defending.
Well, now I'm like, okay.
But it is one of those moments of like, this is, you know, stand up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Don't let them do this to you.
Yeah. There was also, I will say, I want to give Houston Dynamo, we've buried them a little bit, but we want to give them a shout out because they have a really cool thing for the fans that not every other stadium gets. You get to play in a game if you're one of the fans.
Yeah, that is one. Yeah. This was another moment in the game. I don't know what minute this happened in because I wasn't watching the game live.
Just a dude with a beer in his hand runs onto the pitch and legitimately starts playing the game. And you pointed this out. There's two security guards mere feet from the situation, but they were actively just watching the game and they didn't realize until the guy tried a very drunken like Cruyff turn before
man.
They realized, look at them, like they're not even paying attention. They look and they're like, oh my God, that's us. We're the ones responsible.
And there's still also a third security guard that has no interest in participating behind there. But this is, I've never seen anything like this where the fan is this, he's asking, you just saw, he's asking for the ball.
Yeah, and he's by like, the way,
get me the ball. And then he looks like he's essentially trying to run out the clock, running the ball into the corner flag.
I think he has flip-flops on, too.
And he has short. Is it that warm in Houston already?
I think Houston is always warm. It's perpetually warm.
They get some cold.
No, I don't think so. They're wildly humid.
Okay, okay.
I think he's those are flip-flops, right?
Are those flip-flops? I can't tell.
He's got a beer in his hand. He's also doing that thing of like trying to run and then realizes nobody's chasing him. So he's like, oh, maybe I'll get another kick on the ball. And then, of course, the camera cuts to Javier Mascherano having a good old time.
It's the funniest thing in the world. I mean, it's interesting because I wonder if Messi is playing in this game. There's probably more security. They have to hire more security guards. And
Messi's own security guard is probably there while this is happening.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So it seems like they were like, oh, Messi's not here. Nothing's going to happen. But no, this gentleman said, hey, no, Messi's not here. I'm going to make my mark. But this is truly one of the most ridiculous things. What those security guards are doing for roughly 10 seconds before they notice that a person not wearing pink or orange is standing right on the pitch. Did they think he was a ref?
He's wearing all black.
He's wearing all black, maybe.
He's holding a beer. There's no reason a ref would be holding a beer.
Beer should have been a giveaway.
Flip-flops and beer kind of gives it away.
Because if a ref is holding a beer and a whistle, then I'd be like, he might be the ref. He might be a drunk referee.
I will say, look, clearly he was drunk. I think the punishment is too much. You know what the punishment is? They gave him tickets to another Dynamo game.
He gets a Nazi Messi again and be drunk.
And he has to go.
Okay. All right, let's move on now to Wilfred Zaha for making his Charlotte FC debut.
Well, I said on Morning Footy, this is a genius marketing move. Like, this is the right type of MLS recruitment. Someone who's a big enough star that people will search his name out, but he's not so much a star that it feels like he's a gift to the league to be here. You know what
I mean? Totally, yeah. It feels like his signing with Charlotte was... It feels awkward, no? It feels like
there's something weird about it.
There's something weird about it in the sense of like players like this, and maybe it's maybe the arrogance of English players. And I know he obviously, I believe, born in England, but he plays for Ivory Coast.
I believe Ivory Coast. Yes.
But there's something to those types of players where you just think like, oh, they feel too good for this league. I mean, they still have the same. You know,
they think they're European stars.
MLS propaganda is that league is so beneath me. Uh-huh. I shouldn't even consider it. And you know, he made a statement being at one of the press conferences. Like, I go where I want to go. I go where I feel comfortable. That people said the same thing when I went to the Turkish league and all this stuff. So
he spoke to Dean Smith. Dean Smith clearly had some type of relationship with him, and maybe both being Brits,
right?
He felt like, oh, I'll be in good hands.
And it shows that I think you know, with a signing like this, like the coaches that MLS brings over are arguably more important than the players themselves.
We've said this on the show. There should be DP coaches.
Right, because Wilfred Zaha does not sign for this team if Dean Smith is not the coach.
No,
that's just obvious.
Like, Chris Armas, right? Like, a name we all respect. He probably doesn't have the same reverence for what Chris Armas has been able to do, or maybe Jesse Marsh because he coached in Europe. But you need someone who he has some type of relationship with, someone he would feel comfortable.
Armas, just like Wilfred Zaha,
coached
at Manchester United. It's not like he doesn't know anything.
Maybe he was like Ted.
terrible example.
But you know what I mean.
But I know what you mean. So he gets his debut. Congratulations. He also just had a baby girl. That's why he didn't play in the opening in the first game. Against Portland, I believe it was.
Imagine in the future.
Or Vancouver, I don't remember.
Mateo Polanco and little baby Zaha get together.
Yes, that's what I mean. Right, thank you for planning out my future and his future.
I'm manifesting this for you, bro.
But Wilfred Zaha gets a goal and an assist in this game. Mm-hmm. And the assist felt a little, it was...
Two goal contributions in the first match.
But the assist felt like he was trying to take a shot
that
just ended up landing at BL's feet. And
It all works in your favor. But I think the thing that, again, Europe is paying close attention to is how you celebrate man of the match, right? In Portland, they have their thing. You get the piece of wood, right? For every goal.
Or even in England, they usually get some like weird Bud Lights.
Trophy. Or like the one guy get the chicken or something that one year.
There's a lot of weird ones. Fish. Usually
sponsor. Here it's called King of the Match, right? It's the Queen City, right? There's a lot of royalty associated with
Regal,
the brand.
Regal stuff.
Regal. So you get to sit in a big throne. Mm-hmm. There's a smoke machine behind you, and you get to wear a crown. This is fun.
This is fun. The crown itself feels a little bit... your birthday at Burger King.
Was it Hooters? They make you wear something
don't know.
You shake two hot dogs in your hand or something.
I've never been to Hooters, but
never been to a Hooters?
I've never been to a Hooters.
All right, well, we got to do that on this show, by the way. Carter, we're going to Hooters, dog.
I've never seen Hooters. I can't wait.
Dude, when you see them, you're going to be so happy. How'd you have this baby, bro? Through a hole in the sheet?
No, so yeah, it's a little cheesy. I mean, let's not, you know, not to you know, poo-poo Charlotte.
It's leaning into the American soccer. Yeah,
it's fun. It's like everybody sort of has their own thing and their culture.
This feels
tradition.
Like something an NFL executive said. You know, it'd be cool. And no one had the heart to tell him, no, this wouldn't be cool.
So, but it's just always, and this is this tends to happen when you know, people, Europeans, kind of experience American sports culture, mm-hmm. like really in depth.
Yeah, the Knicks have a t-shirt cannon.
Right. And it's just like, what's going on here in America, right? And this is, and when you look at Zaha's face, and he's taking a photo, and he's just like, yeah. I mean,
what the hell's happening here?
It's like, oh man, there's my group chat is going to be crazy. Yeah, as he's giving the thumbs up. But no, we sort of expect more. I hope he embraces it. I hope it becomes like a thing where, like, yeah, it's a little bit cheesy, but the team is winning,
it's super cornball, but it is what it is. It's still fun at the end of the day.
Exactly. So
it's like going to like Olive Garden with your friends. None of you are happy to eat this food, but it's fun. You're taking pictures. You're having a good time.
I have been to an Olive. I just went.
Right?
Great comparison.
Thank you.
I went to an Olive Garden after my uncle's funeral.
Damn.
A couple months ago. So
no Hooters?
We lifted our spirits a little bit more.
I'm really sorry about Unc. Y'all want to go see titties?
With that said,
Uncle would have loved this.
This is what he wanted.
Theo's legacy lives on.
With that said, we're excited to chat with the one and only Ricardo Clark. Right. So let's chat.
The most Cooligans intro possible.
Let's chat with Ricardo right after this.
When we do interviews every once in a while, we get to talk to someone who has seen this game change from the POV, is very much on the pitch.
Has seen the game change, but is also one of the reasons the game
Facts.
Changed.
Exactly, okay, a game where I was changer. Going. Exactly. from MLS to World Cups to now on our show.
Yeah.
Probably not the top of this man's CV that he's doing this show. I think other things are on top, but we're absolutely honored. The coach of Vancouver Whitecaps 2 from MLS Next Pro, ladies and gentlemen, Ricardo Clark, everybody.
Rico, can I call you Rico?
Can we call you Rico?
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, cool. Because we over the years, as we've done this show, we've befriended a lot of people that we didn't even think we would ever meet, let alone...
Frankly, probably shouldn't. They should not have had to meet us.
We're in New York, so people like Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle, just a lot of
Mike McGee. Yeah. Aleko Eskandarian.
People who know who we are, and everybody's like, they'll be talking amongst themselves. Sometimes we'll be in circles where we shouldn't be. And they'll be like, oh, remember when Rico did this or whatever? And I'm like, bro, it's like everybody got a story about
him. Y'all were on the pitch. I saw that on TV.
So it is an honor to be able to chat with you and talk about everything going forward and your coaching career now. But that's kind of where we want to start, with your playing career. And Alexis, kind of mentioned it at first about how the game has changed in the United States. But at least for me, my vision, when I was playing FIFA in the early aughts, you were the guy. Mm-hmm. The U.S. men's national team. I was happy to see Ricardo Clark and excited to make either get some assists or score some goals with him. But like we said, people always seem to talk about you as it, either some kind of inspiration, either about your character, the way you play.
The intensity, the leadership.
It's something like, how do you think about your own legacy in the game amongst your peers and amongst fans with you know, and now leading forward to your coaching career? But how do you look at the Ricardo Clark legacy to where it is now?
Yeah, man. I think, if I had to sum it up in one word, man, I'd just say, most importantly, the grittiness, right? You know, growing up back in the day, you know, we didn't have all these resources that a lot of the new school, if you want to call it, kids have. So, man, you just find ways to make it, man. You know, you go to the park, you have one ball. right? You're just practicing with one ball. You shoot it over the goal, and you're going to go and chase it down the road or whatever it is to go back and play whatever it is. I think little things like that sort of just add up to, you know, how it is just to go, you know, try out whatever it is, state team back in the day, ODP, whatever it is, to try to make it. And then on the field, man, just doing whatever it is, whatever it takes to compete, and win. Right. And, you know, that was just kind of my mentality, as I was a young kid. Maybe it was related to growing up with an older brother and having to battle against him. But man, just finding ways to just pull through and make it and, deal with a lot of adversity, to hopefully, come out on top. Right. So, that's how I'd sum it up.
This is one of the most interesting things to me because Christian and I have been doing this podcast for 10 years, and I think the MLS landscape has changed so much in that time, but it changed rapidly before that also. Like the change came way before that. To where you're now coaching young guys that are coming up from the academy in the step before they go full top tier pro, top flight pro, hopefully, right? That's what everybody wants. But they get discovered in a very different way than how maybe you got discovered. You ATL shorty, right? You from ATL. How did you get discovered? How did you make it to the scene where people understood, could see Ricardo Clark and go, that guy's going to go pro one day? How did you get to that point?
Yeah. Grew up playing. Obviously, my dad introduced me to the game. I was my coach. I was about 12 years old. And me and my brother were, you know, one of the few guys playing soccer in our neighborhood, and you know, eventually, you know, made club team, youth club team in Atlanta, Georgia, then kind of worked my way up the ranks, right? Like I mentioned before, I went to ODP, state team, eventually when I was about 14 years old, made regional team, you know, fortunate enough then to push on to make the national pool. I got my first youth national team experience when I was about 17 years old, U18 age group. And then, yeah, I kind of kept working myself up to the U20s, got to play in the U20 Youth World Championship, you know, into the U23 pool. And then, you know, that's around the time I got my chance at MLS back in 2003.
Metro Stars.
And then, yes, that's Metro Star.
When I first started, like, really going to games, I would see you there when I was a kid.
Bro. Yeah.
New York, New Jersey.
Yeah, man. It was, and then, you know, just kept grinding, you know, traded to different teams, eventually made it to Europe, grinding through that, you know, obviously played in the World Cup. You know, Houston was a big part of my, playing career in the club I played for. And then, just grind it through, man. Like I said, and worked my ass off, and thankfully got the opportunities through, good coaching as well. Right. And good, players, older than me who I learned from and were able to, you know, basically kind of carry on what they taught me and hopefully take it even farther.
It's a lot of teams, right? You brought up Metro Stars, obviously, Eintracht Frankfurt. The image I have is that like hyper orange Houston jersey, though. That's what I think
MLS Cubs. Yeah, I remember early, like I used to go to MLS games casually, but I never watched the league on TV. But one of the, I think it was the 2007 MLS Cup final. I remember putting on ESPN and I was like, I'm gonna watch the MLS Cup final, and it was happened to
you
be
just
the one.
Pat yourself on the back.
No, but it was like one of the first ones that I was like, "Oh, this is what channel it's on." Because I think early on you didn't really know. Now we have like Apple, and we know exactly where to go and stuff like that. But you mentioned the things you learned in coaching. You've had a lot of incredible coaches. I also saw a clip where a podcast clip where you were talking about your time spent at the Crew, where you appreciated that time because there's connections that you and relationships that you built that are still paying off to this day, that are still very helpful and rewarding for you. But when it comes to coaching and whether it's you were at the World Cup 2010, was that Bradley or Rena?
No, that was Bradley.
That was Bradley,
right? So that is that was like one of the first stuff. We got the chance to interview Bob Bradley when he was at LAFC. Mm-hmm. And we one of the proudest moments for us as comedians is that we genuinely made Bob Bradley laugh. He was like actually laughing along with him in an interview. I don't think this is a thing that happens, because even we got messages from other people in media that were like, yo, I just saw this. I've never seen.
Right.
Bob, I've interviewed Bob Bradley 50 times.
Didn't know he had teeth. You know?
So we all know that he's like a sort of hard-nosed coach. There's, are there things from Bob Bradley or even other coaches that you have ingrained in yourself that you are now kind of that you see as a coach for yourself in the players that you are coaching?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. So, you know, with Bob Bradley, you know, when you talk about that grittiness, he kind of exudes that sort of personality and that aura, right? And I think it reflects in his teams and reflects in, you know, sort of the results we used to get, especially with the national team, right? And you know, just grinding out games against especially better opponents, right? Because it was a different time there, you know? I think, you know, we were sort of progressing as a nation and especially as a national team in the game of soccer. But then, you know, we you know, when you face teams like Spain, when you face teams like Brazil, you know, it's all about the quality on the ball as well. But it's also about, you know, having that mentality that you're going to do whatever you can to win the game, right? And you know, whether you're conceding 70% possession to then just make sure you're defending your ass off to then transition and counterattack and hopefully use that game plan to win, right? Then that's what we did. If we had to dominate games with other opponents because we knew we were better than them, then we did. But we just found ways to win. I think Bob Bradley has proved throughout his coaching career that he's been able to do that, right? And I think that mentality was instilled amongst the group. In addition to that, man, I would say, Greg Berhalter, big influence on me. He was actually one of the last coaches, one of my last coaches while I was playing. So he influenced me a lot, actually inspired me to become a coach. So
that's great.
That was really cool to work with him. And man, Dominic Kinnear, I would say for him, you know, really was a good manager, right? Knew how to put together a group, put together a locker room with a lot of chemistry to succeed in that way, right? And then I could go on and on, man, with about some other coaches I've had in the past, some in Germany, Christoph Daum, you know, other guys who, just take bits and pieces from and, you know, whether it's good or bad, just kind of absorb it and try to implement my own style based on what I've learned from those people.
Can I ask what Berhalter did to inspire you to become a coach? Because I feel like that's a big decision for a lot of players at the end. But it feels to me like most players know pretty early, I want to be a coach after this. I don't want to be a coach. From what you just said, it sounds like that decision was kind of made towards the end of your career. What did Berhalter do? What did you see in him that made you want to be a coach?
Yeah. You know, first of all, I think that's a good question because, you know, I always kind of knew I wanted to be a coach, to be fair, but I didn't know on what level. You know, did I want to be a coach on the level of, you know, running soccer camps and having my own academy or whatnot, or did I want to be a coach on a professional level? Right. I think working with Greg inspired me to become a coach on a professional level. Right. You know, him and the rest of his staff, I think there was, you know, a couple other guys there who are now coaching professionally who, you know, just I sort of learned like just in the whole approach, in the detail right, involved in what it needs to be consistent through a whole year, right, and successful, but also relate to players in a right way. That's what you're giving them information to make sure everybody's on board and everybody's sort of bought into the whole process related to a team going through a whole season and hopefully being successful, right? I think that's the biggest thing I learned is just that the detail and how much can be, I guess, given to players and you know, learned in order to, go about coaching in the right way in a professional manner.
I love the way you describe that because I know there's definitely, I'm sure there's coaches or assistant coaches that were inspirational and be like, wow, that this person is inspiring me to take this next challenge in my career. But there also had to be some coaches were like, yo, this bum could coach. If he could do it, I'm sure I could. Do it. A couple of those thrown about throughout your career.
All right. There's one. All right. You just thought of somebody. We're not going to make any names.
I'm not that guy to throw people in the bus. Yeah.
But people recently, Bielsa, right, came out and said that he thinks MLS makes players lazy, right? There's the conversation of like MLS being a different type of league than Europe or South America or whatnot, right? There's rules differences and whatnot. From your time, you got to play in both some of your earlier MLS days, right? And then you also got to play in Europe. Do you think there was a big mentality switch for you having played in Europe?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Big mentality shift. Again, I don't think the league was at where it is at now. When I left, not that it was in a bad time. It was growing, but it still hadn't hit that level that it's at now, right? So me going to Europe, I think it was 2010, and just seeing, you know, get the professionalism, the training environment, right? The atmosphere of games, right? Just sort of opened my eyes to, you know, as a young player, opened my eyes to, you know, what the level is at on the global level, right? In the world of soccer, especially in the, you know, I was playing in the top five league, right? So, you know, it was an experience, man. One thing it really taught me was how to train. Right? You go to Germany, they're doing 2-a-days, 3 times a week, you know, maybe it's on the extreme level, but, you know, I really learned how to really prepare and what it takes to make it to that next level in regards to my training.
You making these kids do 2-a-days at Vancouver Whitecaps too?
Does the union allow that, bro?
Yeah, sometimes, why not? You know?
See, but that's the thing, because we're not pros. And as a fan, I'm watching and I'm like, when we see like the comments from Bielsa of like, oh, MLS makes you lazy. To me, that's such a wild statement, because it's like, what is it that we can't replicate in the U.S. and Canada, of those, like, you just gotta, you know, pass the ball, shoot the ball, touches, you know, like, it's we.
May I recommend a sign that says "Don't be lazy"?
Yeah, we understand the fundamentals to the game. Is it really something that's difficult to replicate because of the environment, maybe the circumstances,
or maybe how long the teams have existed, the intensity,
the popularity of the sport? Is that really the crux of why other countries are so further ahead?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm kind of fast forwarding to now, specifically related to that comment. Like, I don't really think that's the case. You know, maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago, but definitely not now. Definitely not now. I think, you know, MLS is actually a league where players can grow. And I think the league's progressed so much. The pressure to win, the professionalism that's involved, the environment that's created in training, but also in games, I think leads to that sort of environment where, players aren't coming here to take a vacation, right? Players are coming here to win. The amount of the economics of the of the league also too add to that, you know, the exposure on a global level of the league to the rest of the world, I think adds to that. And I don't really know if I believe that comment to be true at this point in MLS. It's come way too far, in my opinion.
All right. What about you? You've been in at the level where you've had to sort of make a way for yourself to get pro. You've played in the World Cups. You've played in Europe. How do you transfer that to someone at MLS Next Pro, where it's like this sort of in between from academy to going full pro? How do you convince? How do you develop? How do you put your arm around these players and use some of your experience to have them really get to that next level?
Yeah, just try to. I think first and foremost is the mentality, right? It's the mentality that has to be instilled in them. You know, you guys seen it or heard it before. You can all have all the talent you want in the world. You know, you can coach somebody so much and on the pitch with it, but if you don't have that drive, have that mentality, have that willingness to, you know, do the little things on and off the pitch, then, you know, it's a wrap. that's the biggest thing I try to instill and convey to the players, right? And I try not to use my, I guess, quote unquote status, you know, or what I've achieved in my career to like relate to them. I just mainly just try to, again, use my experience internally and then try to convince them and convey to them what they can do. But I never really use what I've done as an example for them. Mm. They can go on YouTube, they can go on Wikipedia and do all
I'd
that.
I'd have the right? highlights playing behind me. I'd be like, you see who I am, though?
You see how I controlled that ball? Why can't you do that?
Remember when I was yelling at you? It's because you ain't doing this, bro. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I might jump in sometimes if I'm still throwing, you know.
Show me you still got it?
Give that example, but come on.
You're entering your third season as coach for the Vancouver Whitecaps FC2. The experience, I mean, of being a part of MLS Next, it is an interesting thing. You know, we've had Ali Curtis was on the show before and talking about even the playoff structure and stuff. There is a clear interest in getting people excited about watching these upcoming group of mm-hmm. players, and now that the games are so much more easily accessible. From a coach's perspective, what is how do you feel about it as well? Is it like, are you also like on the sidelines, obviously thinking about your team and trying to win games and stuff like that? But you also must be thinking about your own career and your future prospects as well, right? It's like, what level do you want to push for? Is it trying to become an MLS Next first team coach? Is it thinking for Europe, national team? How far is the Ricardo Clark coaching vision? How far do you want to go?
Yeah, it's a good question. Definitely. If you're asking that, at some point, I definitely want to, coach for a first team in MLS. 100%. When that happens, I don't know, right? Right now, I really do enjoy the development space. And I've been in it for about 3 years now, after coaching as an assistant coach with the first team for about 2 years, and even before that coaching in academy. So, I really do enjoy right now, working with players and getting them into that first team environment or pushing them along towards that, hopefully. So, but then, when that happens with the first team, I don't know. Coaching next pro another year to then hopefully do that? Is it going back into being an assistant coach to then hopefully maybe join into a first team head coach? Or is it maybe next year I'm going to be a first team head coach or maybe go back to with the national team? Who knows, man? I stay in soccer, especially nowadays. It's you never know, man. It's football changes every day. But ultimate goal, I would say that, in addition to, first team head coaching opportunities all over the world, whatever comes about, man. So whether it's Europe, wherever, man. But yeah, for sure, I wanna make that jump at some point in my career.
All right. So I know you gotta run, but I do wanna ask a question. You grew up in Atlanta. Who's the greatest musician or group to ever come out of Atlanta?
Ooh.
All right. Oh, that's a no brainer.
You gonna say Outkast?
That's Outkast, yeah.
Yeah? Some people are saying Future now.
That's a bold.
I'm not of that era.
You came
I'm
up.
Era. Yeah. That's for
you came up slamming Cadillac nose.
Yeah, know what? Even before that, man, Kilo Ali, Goody Mob.
Goody Mob, right? Classic. Okay,
man, that's my era. So that's I'm biased towards that, man. So
okay, right, fair enough.
Right. So actually, did you get a chance? You played at Atlanta United, right? You got a chance to play there.
I didn't play
them. Not at the team, but I'm saying played against them.
Yes.
Yeah, you did. Okay, cool. All right, so did you play at Mercedes-Benz?
I believe I did, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so okay, so I'm just saying, as an Atlanta native, it must have been cool just to see the whole, fact that team there, and that must have been exciting. And we've been there a couple of times, and it's like unbelievable. It's one of the most unique experiences, I think, in world football.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. Like, honestly, with Atlanta United coming in, I didn't expect that.
Same.
But to go back to, I think they were playing a Bobby Dodd Stadium at Georgia Tech, actually, yeah. before they went into Mercedes-Benz, and I played there, and it was 40,000, I don't know, something, yeah. and everybody's just standing the whole game. Yeah, it was incredible, man. It was beautiful to see something like that in your hometown, right, and seeing it flourishing so much. So, yeah, really cool experience.
Amazing, that's awesome, man. Well, Rico, this has been an absolute honor. The MLS Next Pro season starts up this weekend. We wish you the best. This is just, again, it's an honor for us to speak to someone like you. Like we said, like, you are someone who...
Done it all.
Everyone that we know always speaks so highly of you. So this is just like a really dope thing for us to get the opportunity to do.
I feel the look on your face tells me they need to tell you these things. They gotta, someone needs to give you your flowers, dog.
No, man, this is what this is for, man. We got this platform is that there's just a lot of players that have not necessarily untold stories, because I don't think that's what you are.
They don't get their flowers enough.
But
for
there's
sure.
I think a lack of acknowledgement of the bricks that were laid to build what we have.
We're like
now.
The drink champs of MLS. Well,
so we're trying our best, bro. But best of luck this season, Rico.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Respect.
Thank you so much, Ricardo Clark.
Rico.
Rico. Rico Suave Clark, bro. We're workshopping nicknames for you, buddy.
Absolute honor. All right.
Gaffa.
Up next, what are we doing, Alexis?
We're doing a little rapido reaction.
All right. Okay. You got to roll your R's if you want to be a part of this segment.
That's
okay?
Right. Carter, say it.
Rapido reaction.
Very nice.
Let's go.
That's Cartel.
So we have 90 seconds to react to whatever topic Carter throws our way. So Carter, lead the way.
All right. We're going to do a European-centric rapido reaction today. So first one is going to be Jean-Philippe Mateta getting kicked in the face by Liam Roberts, Millwall's goalkeeper. Your reaction to this, seeing it live?
Horrific.
Absolutely horrific.
Gross. A crime.
How was this not even a yellow card immediately? Obviously, it became a red through VAR.
So I'm also just happy, like, VAR is a part of FA Cup in this round. I think start, it's not a part of it earlier. This is...
Michael Oliver, I think, is taking off all future games if there's no VAR, and this is shown around... on camera around the world.
It was such a violent challenging. Yes, the Millwall goalkeeper hits the ball first. The boot, I mean, we're looking at it right now. The boot is so high up. It is
when
above
your booty cheeks are on the man's chest. You done went too far, bro.
Like when your foot is above the person's, even at shoulder level, you're not going to win. That's not a clean challenge.
Buddy, your bottom foot, your lower foot is above this man's crotch. Yo, the whole your whole body up too high, bro.
It's like one of those things where maybe Liam Roberts is trying to protect himself with the weapons that are studs, and it goes through. I don't know the status of Mateta right now. I know he has like a laceration on the side of his head.
Yeah, clearly it was bleeding. Off the side of his head. Clearly, it looked terrible. Obviously, we hope Mateta's okay. But the fact that this happened. And the ref was like, clean.
Hey, he got the ball. Yeah. All ball.
Walk it off. It's crazy.
Ridiculous.
VAR saved this man's job.
Yeah.
All right. Next year, we've got Man United are now out of the FA Cup. What are our thoughts on this team as we go to the end of the season?
So they lose on penalties to Fulham. And it's a little bit of like, I'm impressed, Man United got this far, because I thought they would have been out.
I'm 100% in two worlds. Like, bro, Man United, as we know, Man United should be doing better. But also, y'all know Man United this year. Hey you should be happy you got this far, bro.
Yeah, this is it's not really a shocking result. This is just another example or just another thing that should be used as some sort of evidence of like, how do you want to move forward from here? It's already been bad. The Premier League results are what they are.
At some point, you have to rebuild.
Yeah. And it's like all that's left realistically is Europa League. or at least to get to Champions League,
right.
Europa League is really the only way.
This is it. Europa League's the only trophy you could win now. And by the way, Sturgeon Radcliffe has done fired everybody.
Right.
There's no one else. There's nowhere else to save money. There's nowhere else to fire. This is it. Please give Ruben Amorim some time if you're a Manchester United fan.
Sure.
Because this is ridiculous. What are you going to do? Get rid of him and bring in somebody else and like, watch him fail?
Right.
Because you don't give him time?
I don't know what the the remedy is or even just like, again, yeah, what do they do? How does the fan base kind of react? I mean, it's just... Take what you get. Find the positive where you can. What is it? Roy Keane criticizing Bruno Fernandes and everything.
Everybody.
Like, I don't know who is the mainstay. Yeah. I don't know who it is. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Next year, we're going to Spain. Real Madrid lose to Real Betis and lose control of the title race. Your thoughts?
So they slipped to third, Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks like it's a title race between Atleti, Real Madrid, if they can come back in Barcelona. I'll give you this, that Opta, the Opta supercomputer, has said that Barcelona are now 47.9% likely to win the La Liga.
I love the Opta supercomputer.
First of all, you're an IT guy. So, by the way, there's no sarcasm in what he's saying.
Thank you, Opta supercomputer. The Opta supercomputer was actually my best man at my wedding.
Yeah, I was there. I was very offended.
Okay. There's a big old server. this is a... For Rob Betis, a former Manchester United player in Anthony.
Crush,
who seems to be doing all right and
loving life, having a good time. Johnny Cardoso playing well,
beating a Real Madrid. This has to do something for his confidence for sure. Real Madrid seemed like the La Liga. Didn't Mbappe play in this game?
I'm not sure.
Wasn't he dealing with an injury?
If they don't win the league and they don't win Champions League, I think it's curtains for Carlo Ancelotti. You can't bring in an Mbappe and not win the league.
Mbappe did play 75 minutes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There is something with Real Madrid. It feels like they are still finding that adjustment with Mbappe and stuff like that. But yeah, like
Ancelotti sacked if they don't win.
I feel like they have a better chance at Champions League than the league. So,
all right. Still staying in Spain. Barcelona win 4-0. Are they peaking at the right time with Champions League and the title race ahead of them?
So how do you feel about Barcelona? Because they are, to me, new coach and another a team that is still finding kind of like its identity. Because, I mean, with the three teams...
I feel like they at least kind of know a little bit more of what their identity is.
They're closer than Madrid. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like Madrid, they're still kind of piecing together how this team plays. Barcelona, everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And I just feel like Barcelona... shockingly kind of has more informed stars than Real Madrid has right now. I think Vinny's only scored one goal in his last like 13 matches, something crazy like that. Where Barcelona, they're flying high. Their big questioning is defensively. You know, Guardiola can't do it all on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, are they going to be able to lock it down? And Hansi Flick doesn't want to play that way. So are they in the driver's seat? Are they peaking at the right time? It still feels a little early.
Yeah, we were just talking about the other day about the Copa del Rey result against Atletico. And then like they sort of still have issues. I still go back to when you have games... 3-4 days apart, sometimes it just looks like two different teams.
That's true.
A well-rested team might end up doing better. This is why I think also Real Madrid is like, what determines kind of La Liga this season will be like who handles that pressure of those multiple tournaments and stuff like that, and who has like the better mentality.
So it is too early to answer your question. I think we both agree. It's a little too early to peak.
Right.
All right. And then the last one here, Man City are now odds-on favorites to win the FA Cup. Would the FA Cup and a top four finish be a good season under Pep Guardiola for Man City?
All right. So you have to grade this with a curve or no, right? So you're saying take everything Pep Guardiola has done in his career and say, fine. Winning an FA Cup and finishing in the top four is good for other managers. It's good for other teams that don't have these crazy wages. It's not good enough for Manchester City. Or if you say, hey, the worst year this guy's had is top four and a trophy.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's actually not that bad. I'm kind of thinking, like, in a way, this season won't be remembered at the highest point, like the winning the treble, but you won't be able to look back and go and say, that's a bad season. You just can't if you win a trophy.
Yeah, that would be absurd. But I guess when the standard is set so high, which is essentially almost perfection, then almost anything beneath that feels like a bad season.
Can you have a good season but not be good enough?
Can you have good enough for what?
Good enough in the like royal in general eyes, term, yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's
this
like,
season would be
it's
it.
Like it's sort of like a Mourinho type season where it's like the defensive and just like lock the game down. It could be like ugly football, but you win, right? Is that?
But this is different. At least that's winning. This is just winning a trophy. Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, overall, Man City will be fine.
Yeah. I know they'll be
whether
fine.
Whether this year or next. I mean,
but
I don't
can
know,
we make fun of them?
I don't know how much criticism they should really, really be
not
getting.
Not why you're wearing that shirt.
I'm a company man. Yeah, yeah. Every City Football Group.
Hey, by the way, City Football Group, sponsor the show. We'll tell the company line for sure.
All right. Another happy little reactions in the books. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Carter.
Carter.
Got dead.
Rolling the R's heavy, bro.
You I'm involved with the cartels, bro. The cartels, dude.
That should be Carter's like fan group.
Yeah.
The cartel.
The cartel.
The cartel.
Yeah, I think yeah. The cartel sing.
cartel sing.
Yeah, dude.
Yo, you know, the cartel hive. Do your thing.
Yeah,
bro.
Dog. Shouts to all the cartelios out there, bro.
We love your Carter loves
yeah,
y'all.
Yeah, dude.
He just met y'all today, but he loves y'all.
We got to find like a nice way of saying narcos. Narcotraficantes, bro.
So thank you again for tuning in. As always, just a reminder, everybody's we've gotten a lot of great feedback about the ISC roast, the MLS roast that we did at, in Minnesota for the Independent Supporters Council. So that's available on our Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Go check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's funny. Carter, again, you gave us a brief review last time. How about now? And this time he was repeating some of the jokes from the roast this time. So clearly, you know, cartel hive. Let him know.
I mean, look, there's no secret here that you guys are funny and the roast was great. As a San Jose Earthquake fan, it definitely hurt me a little bit.
We're gonna mute your mic real quick. We could have just left it at you guys are hilarious and it was great.
No, we love the honest review. Yeah. You know, you gotta he it's 4.5 stars because of the San Jose jokes. Yeah, you know what I mean? I get it.
So. Just completely ruining our Google Maps chances.
All right. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube if you haven't yet to the Cooligans and follow us on Blue Sky at SoccerCooligans.
And if you join the Patreon, you can watch the ISC roast in full, $5 or $10, but there's a little bit more if you join the $10. Some of the Q&A, and also you'll get our review of Carter.
Okay, people are dying to see that. so go check that out. All right, we'll be back on Thursday, and again, shout out to Ricardo Clark for joining us on the pod as well. We'll be back on Thursday. A lot of fun episodes coming up in the coming days.
We got so much cool stuff lined up.
Yeah.
For you guys.
So be on the lookout. Thank you, everybody.
Let us know what you think of the desk being this way. Yeah. We're getting a different desk.
All right, take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.